You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. From The Grateful Dead to Fish and beyond, jam bands have formed bonds with fans around the country, often at major music festivals.
Peter Connors is with us. His new book is Jamerica, the history of the jam band and festival scene. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, let's define our terms. What makes a band a jam band?
Well, I think at the heart of the jam band, there's a willingness to improvise live in concert. And in the book, I break down, you know, a couple different sort of subcategories of what makes a jam band. But I think at its heart, there has to be that willingness to improvise and play these live shows where they're musically going out on the high wire. And that's what the fans of the jam bands expect as well.
And it seems like, and when I've heard people talk about bands, we're going to name some names in a few minutes. You know, when you hear a track, say a studio track from the Grateful Dead, that doesn't really count. Those recorded albums aren't the thing the fans are there for. It's the live performances.
That's right. And the Grateful Dead were, of course, you know, really made their name and spread across the country through what we call bootleg tapes. And they actually allowed taping at their concerts, which, you know, is still sort of a rarity and is something else that sets the jam band scene apart. A lot of these bands encourage fans to come, often with very high-quality recording gear, and record each night's show and to share it with each other. And it used to be, you know, by sending tapes through the mail, and of course now it's all moved online. But that's really the heart of the scene, is those live performances that, again, the bands love when the fans, you know, trade those and talk about them, and that forms a heart of the jam band culture.
I was going to say, I knew people who would meet up with other people and trade tapes, you know, dub each other's tapes. How big a deal has the internet been with sharing those bootleg shows?
Well, I think it's been revolutionary, you know, as the internet has been with so many things. The jam band scene and the Grateful Dead scene before that has always been a grassroots community that depends on people, you know, connecting with each other over their love of the bands. And so, of course, the internet just facilitates that and plays right into that so well. So whether it's fans trading, you know, tapes or links to shows, online, I should say recordings, not tapes, of course, trading those links online and letting each other know where the best recordings are, or just getting in touch about the shows and sort of talking about them after, you know, they occur. It's been a real boon to the community.
Let's give a listen to the Grateful Dead. This is a little instrumental clip mostly, I think. So the big deal and the reason people follow a band like the Dead is that tonight's show, they might play a song, and tomorrow night they might play the same song, and it might be very different. How much variation is there from one night to the next playing the same song?
Right. Well, one thing I should say is it would be very rare for them to play the same song two nights in a row.
Okay.
So that was part of it. And of course, you know, a band like the Grateful Dead had such a deep catalog, they could go many, many shows without replaying a show. But, you know, there were especially these improvisational passages that were just built into the songs. So as opposed to just having, you know, verse, chorus, verse type of structure, there was always room built into the songs for these deep improvisational explorations that could perhaps lead to a completely different song and then sometimes back into the original song. And again, that's sort of, you know, that's sort of the point of the jam band scene, is letting the musicians go into those passages, musically play off of each other, and find out where the music's going to go. And you'll hear in the book a lot of musicians and also fans describe that as a journey, which in many ways it is. It's an oral journey that they take together.
Now, you've written this book, Jamerica. Your previous book was Growing Up Dead, and I gather it's about you in your teen years as a Deadhead. What got you as a teenager into the Grateful Dead?
Well, it was the tapes, you know, and that for a lot of people, that was their first encounter with the Grateful Dead. I had, you know, a couple friends who got some tapes through older siblings, and then we started passing them around. And I was just really interested. Now, this was in 1985, was my first real encounter with the band. So the music scene was, of course, very different, you know, at that time. And so the Grateful Dead was like an alien ship, you know, landing in my ears. You know, what are these guys and what are they playing? And it just didn't sound like anything else I had heard, but I was very intrigued with it. And so I just sort of got deeper and deeper, and I listened more and more. And the song, you know, a lot of times with the band, there's a particular song or a particular moment when you just get hooked. And for me, it was a song called Ripple, by the Grateful Dead that had lyrics by their main lyricist, Robert Hunter. And it was just such a beautiful song, and there was an otherworldly, you know, quality to what they were producing, and it just hooked me in. And then I went to my first concert, as we called it, in Grateful Dead World Show, a couple of years later, and I was, as we say, on the bus. I was fully into the Grateful Dead.
And it seems like you mentioned it's like an alien ship compared to a lot of the other music. The typical pattern is there's a rock musician, you buy their CD, you maybe go see them when they come through town. It seems like there's a way more of a community element with the jam band. Talk about that a little.
Yeah, there is. You know, and again, you can sort of go back to the Grateful Dead with this, but especially in the late 80s, you were able to travel from show to show, and a lot of times they would book their tours so that there was only, you know, an hour or two of road travel time between them. So you could go from show to show, but you could also set up in the parking lot. You could sleep in the parking lot. You know, you could make grilled cheese sandwiches, or you could make tie-dye shirts or artwork or whatever it might be, and you could actually sell it in the parking lot, and you could make your money to then go to the next show. And so there was this real sense of community, particularly among the people who would tour and follow the Grateful Dead. And you still see that now. And I think, you know, an interesting part of the jam band scene is a lot of these bands and also the fans have picked the things that worked the best in the Grateful Dead community, and they've carried it over into their own band scene. And so you'll see people still, you know, selling necklaces or whatever it might be at festivals, even if, you know, there's no Grateful Dead involvement whatsoever. And that was part of what interested me, really, and made me want to delve deeper into the modern-day jam band and festival scene, is to see how these ideas have evolved and how people, you know, get into them and carry them over.
I want to move on to some of those other bands in just a minute, but here's a true or false for you. The Grateful Dead are the founders of the jam band scene. True or false?
I wouldn't say founders. I actually put them as a step before the jam band scene. Mm-hmm. I think they were sort of... they were so much at the beginning that you can't really lump them into the larger jam band scene. And that's a point that I lay out in the introduction of the book as well. I really wanted to give credit to what you might consider the next generation, or to me, the first generation of jam bands, which was, you know, Blues Traveler and Widespread Panic and Phish and a whole bunch of different bands. But they, again, picked up some of the things that the Grateful Dead had done. And then they started this whole wave of the modern jam band scene that's still going on very strong today.
Let's get into some of those guys. I have a clip of Blues Travelers ready to go. This is Run Around.
Oh, once upon a midnight deer, you woke with something in my head. I couldn't escape that memory.
So do people follow the Blues Travelers from show to show like they did for the Grateful Dead?
I don't know that the Blues Traveler has such a following from show to show. But you know, what's happening now is it's less about following, other than Phish, which sort of has their own whole scene that really rivals the Grateful Dead in many ways. A lot of what you see is there's so many of these festivals going on around the country that, as opposed to following one particular band, you'll see the kids going from festival to festival where there's going to be, you know, 20 different bands on the bill, and maybe a handful of them are, you know, their favorite bands. But then they get exposed to all this other music as well and all these different bands. So I think it's more, as far as the traveling and going show to show, I think it's really morphed into being more about the festivals.
When did those festivals get started, that mainly focus on the jam bands, I should say?
Yeah, I think that the Horde tours were the first ones to really get that going. So this is 1991, 1992, and they were really organized mainly by John Popper of Blues Traveler, in close association with Bill Graham Productions. And, of course, Bill Graham was a legendary promoter and created the Fillmore West and East, and was a seminal figure in the 60s rock scene. And his son, David Graham, was managing Blues Traveler. And so as a result of that, Blues Traveler was sort of at the helm of organizing these shows called the Horde Tours. Horde stood for Horizons of Rock Developing Everywhere. And that was the first time you saw on a large national scale bands going out together who, you know, have created great names for themselves now, which was Blues Traveler and Widespread Panic and Phish, Spin Doctors, Bela Fleck was in there. So a lot of different bands that have gone on to do very interesting things. But I think you have to look at Horde as the first of these modern day festivals.
I want to talk about Phish for a few minutes, and we'll go out with a clip from them in a few minutes. But it's if when I think jam band, that is the name that pops into my head. Do they are they the dominant figure in this in that generation you mentioned of jam bands?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly. I mean, anytime you have a band, you know, that is basically off mainstream, let's say radio radar, in a lot of ways, you know, mainstream music industry radar, but can sell out four nights at Madison Square Garden on New Year's Eve, you know, in a heartbeat, you have a force to be reckoned with. And so I really think that, you know, as far as the size of their following, the dedication of their following, the way that people pay attention to Phish has really made them, you know, the next step after the Grateful Dead.
Is that part of the appeal to fans that these are bands that kind of, in a way, you know, this band came to me. It wasn't mediated by the record label, and they just went out and built their own connections with the community.
I think it is. Yeah, I think that, you know, there's always going to be a segment of people who are looking for something that those around them have not yet discovered or that hasn't been fed to them by other, you know, media outlets or by the radio stations, you know, what they're playing, those top 10 songs they're playing every 5 minutes and so forth. And, you know, again, once you get into that, then that sort of becomes your community as well, and that becomes part of your social circle. So you find other people who are kindred spirits who also like this music, and you might talk to them about it, and you might end up traveling to shows with them. And I think there's a real appeal not just in the music, but also in finding your way into that subculture.
You know, I've read things by Matt Groening, the TV show Freaks and Geeks, things like The Grateful Dead and then later jam bands. It seems like they present a home away from home for people who don't really feel connected with the community they're growing up in. Do you think it provides that outlet for a lot of people?
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, one thing that I think is overlooked a lot of times in these scenes, too, is there's an alternative education that takes place when you get into these scenes. And for me personally, I was, you know, a young person as a teenager. I was interested in writing, but I hadn't had tremendous success or acceptance in, you know, the traditional school system. So for me, when I got into the Grateful Dead and I started listening to their lyrics, and they might refer to a beat character, say Neil Cassady, you know, who's Dean Moriarty and On the Road, you know, that sort of led me to go, well, who is this? You know, and then I would read about that person, and then I would discover, you know, Jack Kerouac, and he might have referred to Dostoevsky or Celine or these different people. So for me, there was a huge educational component. It opened up this whole new world of learning that really benefited me as a writer. And I think that's something worth looking at, too, that a lot of times these kids are just not having their intellectual needs met through traditional channels, and they may find, you know, the outlets or the experiences that they have on the road to be more intellectually stimulating than what they're faced with.
We're talking to Peter Connors. His book is Jamerica, The History of the Jam Band and Festival Scene. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're going to bring up some music by Phish now, and I want to know, did you follow the Grateful Dead? Have you been to shows? Or Phish? Or some of the other bands we're talking about or will talk about, like String Cheese Incident, Spin Doctors, Blues Travelers? Is this a home away from home with you, the festival scene? 800-642-1234. We'll take your calls after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our discussion now with Peter Connors. His new book is Jamerica, on the history of jam bands and the festival scene, starting with the Grateful Dead, bands like Phish, and a whole bunch of others, and festivals that have sprung up around the country. Hoping to hear from you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of jam bands? Have you gone to see some shows? Did you follow any of them for a while? Do you trade bootlegs in person or online. 800-642-1234. Send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Peter, on Facebook, August writes, top in my memories are my very first concert at age 13, The Grateful Dead in Chicago, and hitchhiking across the country, seeing Fish, Further, Modesky Martin and Wood, and others along the way. Now my favorite thing is seeing my little hippies, age 2, 4, and 5, getting into Jamgrass. Wow, a lot to unpack there. First of all, multi-generational. Do you see a lot of parents handing this on to their kids and passing on the tradition?
Absolutely, and that's one of the fun things to see at the festivals in particular, is you see, honestly, at this point, you could see three generations. You know, you could see grandparents who maybe grew up through the 60s, and then they've had children, and then they bring their children. So I have seen three generations, and they're always quite proud to be there together and to be sharing that experience as well. So, that's not uncommon.
And Jamgrass is a phrase he uses. That's a thing?
Yeah, well, that's sort of, the jam scene loves its hyphens, you know, to help describe its music. And so Jamgrass is a mix between bluegrass and jam. And, you know, there's all sorts of bands. Colorado seems to be quite a hotbed for Jamgrass. And, you know, there's bands like String Cheese Incident, Leftover Salmon. There's a whole slew of bands that have come even after them that could be sort of fit into that Jamgrass label.
Let's give a listen to String Cheese Incident. You just mentioned them. Here it is. One of their slower bits. I think they're usually a bit more up-tempo than that particular track. But String Cheese Incident, I think I've heard jokes that you can't go anywhere in a lot of parts of the country without seeing a String Cheese Incident flyer somewhere nearby. They're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing the travel that all these bands put in. I mean, they are truly road warriors. And, you know, some of that, again, going back to the Grateful Dead model, is that's the way that they have to operate within the business as well, because, you know, most of them don't sell many albums at all. You know, they're not getting radio airplay support, but what they do and what they love to do is play live. And so most of these bands are on the road, you know, just an immense number of days per year, playing all over the country, often playing with each other, too, and sharing venues and sharing bills. So, you know, again, it's a neat way that the music connects people across the country as well. And if you're a fan who loves to travel, it gives these fans a chance to see different parts of the country and experience their favorite band as well.
Let's give a listen to another band, Spin Doctors. I guess I am not super familiar with the definition of jam band. I don't know if I would have thought they'd be there, but let's give a listen, then you can talk about them a little. I think that's one of their hit singles there, Two Princes. How did Spin Doctors make the cut? Did they latch on to the festival scene?
Well, I think they were just in it really early on, and they came out of the New York City scene, and specifically a club called the Wetlands in New York City that was really the ground zero for the emergence of the jam band scene. Bands from all over the country, you know, including Fish and all these different bands, went through Wetlands at one time or another in the early to mid-90s and played there. And because Spin Doctors was from New York City, they were one of, you know, the sort of house bands for the Wetlands. They were one of the first bands playing on the Horde tour. So there was more right time, right place than the particular style of music that they played. And Chris Barron is interviewed quite extensively in the book. They're a much more song-oriented band than jam-oriented. But again, they were part of the community because they were, you know, there at just the right time, and they helped kick off the whole scene.
And August on Facebook mentioned Modesky, Martin, and Wood. I think you mentioned Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. Again, those sound like ones that might be not what you'd think of when you think of Grateful Dead and Fish and the other bands we're talking about. Have they also been natural fits with the festivals that people are going to?
Yeah, they have been, and those are both, you know, they have a lot more jazz in their music, especially Modesky, Martin, and Wood. And Bella Fleck has gone off into some really interesting explorations of world music as well. But yeah, those are both, you know, they're more jazz-oriented, but again, they're great improvisers, and they love to take off from a song, and they're musically, they're incredible. They have wonderful chops, and they're just very talented musicians. So they can take off from the song and go into these wonderful improvisations, and that's really why they are part of the scene.
It seems like it would be natural for people who like jam bands and all the improvisation to get into full-on jazz, because, I mean, that's a huge part of what that kind of music is. Do you see a lot of crossover in that way?
I think crossover as long as it has some rock in it.
Okay.
You don't really see straight jazz musicians showing up at the festivals, but you certainly see a lot of homage paid to jazz musicians and a jazz inflection in a lot of the music. So I think it's more of a reverence and a learning that has taken place from interacting with jazz than having straight jazz musicians come in to the jam scene. And that said, there's a couple players right now playing with Bob Weir and Phil Lesh from Further. Joe Russo is one of them, the drummer for this band called Further now that the Grateful Dead has sort of spun off into, who comes right from the jazz background. So, you know, there is that there definitely strongly, but again, you don't necessarily see straight jazz musicians showing up.
What are the big festivals now that the bands we've been talking about are showing up at and the fans are going to, hoping to see their favorites and maybe learn some new ones?
Well, Bonnaroo has certainly become, you know, just a huge sort of a monster of a festival. But that one really started out also as a jam band festival. And, of course, now it's evolved to have, you know, hip-hop acts, or I think Radiohead has played there, all sorts of huge, you know, bands. But Bonnaroo did start as a jam band festival. And you have Mountain Jam in Hunter, New York. There's Gathering of the Vibes is a wonderful festival. You know, there's honestly so many festivals in every region of the country going around, you know, going on all year round that it's quite staggering.
What's your favorite band to catch a show of nowadays?
Well, growing up as a Deadhead, you know, the Dead will always be my sort of touchstone band, and I listen to all sorts of different music, but at the end of the day, I always come back to the Grateful Dead. So for me, it's really fun to go and see the band Further that I had just mentioned play live, because it's two of the remaining members of the Grateful Dead, and they play all sorts of Grateful Dead songs that the band didn't actually play while I was going to see them and while Jerry Garcia was alive. So I always have the most fun at those shows, personally.
Let's take a call. We've got Heather on the line in La Crosse. Heather, hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. So are you a fan of the bands we're talking about?
Yeah, I am. I haven't ever been to a Fish show or any of those other bands, but there's actually a festival going on this weekend that all my friends are at in Minnesota. That's really fun.
What's the festival?
It's called Shangri-La.
Okay, and any bands in particular that you would be excited to see there?
Well, the band that puts it on is called Bookie Foot, and they're kind of a big group of people. I was just wondering if he had ever heard of them before.
I have heard of Bookie Foot, yeah. I've never seen them live, but I have heard of them.
Okay, and are there a lot of regional jam bands that maybe haven't quite broken through to the national audience yet, Peter?
You know, there are, and there are always, you know, it's just a constant evolution and a turning over. And I think, you know, one of the great things about these festivals is because a lot of times they'll start, let's say, at, you know, 12 noon, and the headliner won't come on until 9 or 10 at night. There's slots available for all these different bands that are emerging onto the scene to play, you know, in the early afternoon or what have you, to thousands of people who otherwise wouldn't know who these bands are, and sort of work their way up the ladder to these later and later time slots. So I'm always discovering new bands.
Well, Peter, if this sounds like an alien world to people listening now, can you give a quick pep talk to wrap up, to maybe go out or go online at least to check out a live track?
Don't fear the jam. Enjoy it. Just relax into it, and it'll take you very, very interesting musical places. Enjoy it.
Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Peter Connors, author of Jamerica, the history of the American jam, or history of the jam band and festival scene.